Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. On this week's program, I want to discuss many of the conspiracy theories put forth concerning the origin and the responses to this coronavirus pandemic. This is a really big subject, and it's going to require a lot of biblical common sense and discernment to begin with. We must make the distinction between true conspiracy theories and false conspiracy theories. There is no doubt that people are involved in conspiracies. The very word means con, together, and inspire. People inspire together to do certain things in this world. So conspiracies are real. It's just how far you go in your conception of them. Are they rational? Is there firsthand evidence? Is there a scientific basis? Here's a great cartoon. A bunch of chickens are sitting in a chicken house, and one chicken says, "I'm telling you, they are eating us." The other chicken says, "You and your conspiracy theories." So the moral of the story is some conspiracies are real. There are bad actors out there. Just because you're paranoid doesn't necessarily mean people aren't out to get you. But of course, there are many false conspiracy theories. And although they may not be false in their general conclusion, they may be false in their specific accusation. For example, here's a story. Illinois Democrat Congressman Bobby Rush, a man who founded the Illinois chapter of the Black Panthers back in the 1960s, sponsored federal legislation to spend $100 billion to set up a system of contact tracing for everyone in order to track the spread of the virus. Just so happens that this bill is H.R. 6666. Any alarm over the apocalyptic Orwellian nature of this bill is well-deserved, but that this bill is entitled H.R. 666, that is conspiracy is fiction. It's most likely insignificant and coincidental. Common sense and just knowing how these bills get numbered should tell us that it's pretty unlikely that there was some grand conspiracy to make sure that this bill would receive the number of the Mark of the Beast. Maybe someone down in legislative services decided to ridicule this bill. The poison really is in the content of the bill, not its number. But for some people hearing 666, they think that that's a conspiracy, that that's a secret code. Well, that's an easy conspiracy theory to debunk. Unfortunately, most false conspiracy theories are much more subtle than that. Here's the real issue. There are plenty of preachers and pundits who are claiming that this virus was created in a Chinese lab as a way to take down the West, that Bill Gates and the UN and the globalists have created this crisis to overturn the United States and to bring in a new world order. For example, here's a sermon on YouTube by a pastor in Georgia, 250,000 views, entitled, "Is the Coronavirus the End of the World?" His contention is that because Trump came into office with an anti-globalist agenda, the globalists have turned on him. The press, controlled by the globalists, they have also turned on him. Quote, they all tried to impeach him, but after 3 years, when that failed, the next move was the coronavirus. End quote. In the past, it was David Rockefeller pulling the strings on all these globalist movements, but he died in 2017. It appears that Bill Gates has taken the lead in this billionaire club movement toward a one world order. And this pastor goes on to build a case that the coronavirus was planned by these globalists because the coincidences were unlikely. 2 years ago, the Gates Foundation started a new group, the CEPI, Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovation, which included Big Pharma, certain countries, and the U.S. Defense Department, all working on the next epidemic. And also, the Gates Foundation created and funded a Netflix documentary called Pandemic, released in November 2019. The plot of the documentary was a coronavirus that originated from a wet market in China. The pastor asks, is that a coincidence? Is Bill Gates a prophet or is this a plan? Then in October 2019, there was a pandemic exercise at Johns Hopkins University conducted by the Gates Foundation, the World Economic Forum. The exercise predicted a new pandemic would be like the Spanish flu of 1918. The director of the Chinese Center for Disease Control was involved in the simulation. At the same time, the World Military Games were being held in Wuhan, China. 2 months later, January 7th, China reports a coronavirus outbreak in Wuhan. January 22nd, the Davos meeting, Gates announced a coronavirus vaccine program, which involved Big Pharma and the U.S. Institute for Allergy and Infectious Diseases, headed by Fauci. And it's Fauci who advised the president that this virus will kill at least 2 million people and we need to shut down. Fauci allegedly got all of his data from organizations funded by the Gates Foundation. January 22nd, Congress already knows about the possibility of a pandemic and starts to put together the CARE Act to distribute money. January 30th, the World Health Organization announces a world health emergency before we even had many cases in America. How did they know this was going to be an emergency? Then the pastor makes this statement. This novel coronavirus, COVID-19, is a manufactured crisis designed to deceive people to accept a radically different world than you or I are used to living in. And that pretty much sums up these coronavirus conspiracy theories. The claim is that it was all planned. Whether this virus was created in a lab or released from a lab, the whole thing was planned to disrupt the world for nefarious purposes. And it's not just that Bill Gates is a guy with a globalist mindset, with altruistic plans to eliminate disease in the world. He is being accused of plotting to spread this virus. And his prior involvement in infectious diseases is considered the smoking gun. When the facts are, over the last decade, there was Ebola and Zika and SARS and the bird flu. And Gates and the World Health Organization has been trying to address this ongoing health crisis for some time due to the huge increase in world travel. But no, for conspiracy theorists, to be proactive was a sign of collaboration and conspiracy. So let me give at least four errors I see in false conspiracy theories. First, slander. There was an article in the Gospel Coalition written by Joe Carter. Christians are not immune to conspiracy theories. And he received quite a bit of pushback for this article, but he does a good job in addressing the error. Carter begins by describing some of the recent conspiracy theories that COVID-19 is caused by microwaves coming from 5G networks, that the virus is a man-made bioweapon created by Bill Gates, and there are many false claims being made about Dr. Fauci on that White House coronavirus task force. Christian ministry, American Family Association, is promoting a conspiracy that Fauci has known since 2005 that chloroquine is an effective inhibitor of coronavirus. Another group claims Fauci is part of the deep state attempt to destroy the economy and change election rules. And in this article, Carter's take on these conspiracy theories is that they fall under the biblical prohibitions against slander. That is, Christians posting claims against people that they cannot possibly know to be true. They don't have firsthand evidence. They only connect the dots based on assumptions. They're assuming that certain effects have to have certain causes. And they're only repeating what other people have said on the internet. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, God hates falsehood and slander. Proverbs 10:18, He who conceals hatred has lying lips, and he who spreads slander is a fool. Psalm 101:5, whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. Then in the New Testament, there are many warnings against slander. Romans chapter 1, it's the wicked who are slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil. The apostles were slandered, 1 Corinthians 4:13. When we're slandered, we try to conciliate. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, Christians are slandered as evildoers. And Paul writes to the Corinthian church that he finds in that church slander and gossip. Also, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And 1 Peter 2:1. Therefore, put aside all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and evil and all slander. Unless you have the evidence, it's evil to accuse someone's motives and intents. Someone is certainly free to make the case that Bill Gates's Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness is unnecessary or too expensive or a conflict of interest, if you can make that case. And someone can fairly disagree with Bill Gates's globalist ideology. But to say that Bill Gates is in a conspiracy to make and use this virus to bring in a new world order is slander. Here's another verse that applies. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13. He who gives an answer before he hears or knows for sure, it's a folly and a shame to him. And this has been my longstanding objection to many conspiracy theories. People, even Christians, not understanding what we can know and not know. Failing to know how much evidence is necessary before something can be assumed. Every event that benefits a group doesn't mean it was planned or created by that group. If weapons manufacturers and bankers make money off of wars, it doesn't follow that all wars are started by weapons manufacturers and bankers. If the United States wants to win the space race in order to show its superiority over the Soviet Union, it doesn't follow that the United States faked the moonwalk. If Bill Gates has an interest in eliminating world disease, it doesn't follow that he's in some grand conspiracy to take over the world. It's more reasonable to assume that he's just a philanthropist concerned with eradicating disease. His policies may be too globalistic. They may even be ineffectual. But as the old saying goes, never attribute to malice that which can be adequately explained by stupidity. And that's called Hallin's razor. In other words, many things happen, not because people have bad intentions, but they do not think through policies properly. And we could add to this because they have the wrong worldview. Now, figuring out the cause and the effects of things can get very deep. And the motives of people are very deep. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5, the intentions in the heart of man is like deep water. 1 Corinthians 2:11, for who among men know the thoughts of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? And the psychology of those who wrongly connect the dots, who come up with these conspiracy theories, that psychology goes really, really deep. But one thing we know for sure is that we should never slander. We should never make claims unless we have evidence or proof. And that alone would put an end to many false conspiracy theories. So the first error in false conspiracies is slander, accusations without proof. The second is that false conspiracy theories are often unscientific, unrealistic. This claim of chemtrails, trails coming out of the back of planes, that the government is dumping chemicals into the atmosphere to manipulate the weather, creating hurricanes or whatever. Seeding the sky with dust to change the weather has been proven to be impossible. Even common sense tells us that all the planes in the world filled with chemical solutions cannot even begin to make a dent in world weather patterns. And microwaves coming from 4G and 5G networks do not dumb down the public with mind control. The truth is that long term, you don't want to spend 10 hours a day with your cell phone to your ear. There's very little scientific evidence that cell phone use will hurt you. But a cell phone is a powerful transmitter. So common sense tells us that it's probably not good to have too much cell phone use. But nevertheless, overall, 5G microwaves have such a small effect upon us that it's practically zero. One conspiracy theory I heard was that this virus was manufactured to infect older people first and then to mutate to infect younger people. Someone was watching too many sci-fi movies, mistaking them for reality. Scientists cannot make a virus, let alone engineer one that can mutate in a certain way. Judging conspiracy theories by basic science is comparing conspiracy theories to truth. Scientific truth that comes from observing the universe, this is called natural revelation. What God allows us to understand about nature and chemistry and physics. And natural revelation is just as true as scriptural revelation. There are certain fixed laws in chemistry and physics. And the more we know about these things, the less we'll be fooled. The worst conspiracy theories have no evidential proof scientifically. Many false conspiracy theories come from people who are just superstitious and uninformed. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 2 warns God's people not to have unscientific superstitions. Thus saith the Lord, do not learn the way of the nations, and do not be terrified by the signs of the heavens, although the nations are terrified by them, for the customs of the people are a delusion. So to be without knowledge is not good. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 2. Because you'll fall for every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. Ephesians chapter 4. Number 3, along with number 2, false conspiracy theories attribute way too much power and cleverness to man. As if mankind can create a virus in the lab. As if people can control all of the possible outcomes. As if these secret groups can pull all the strings. And they're playing three-level chess. If the Chinese created this virus to take down the West, they sure did a lousy job of it. They killed 1 million of their own people. They destroyed their economy. I mean, they should have dumped the virus into the U.S. water supply or spread it on the New York City subway system. Instead, they infected the whole city of Wuhan and all China. And I'm sure conspiracy theorists would say that this was part of their cover-up. And if Bill Gates was in a conspiracy to spread this virus, do you think he would have been so dumb as to fund a documentary on the coronavirus to expose his previous knowledge? I'm sure a conspiracy theorist would say he did this so he would be seen as the problem solver. The biblical picture of this world is not that man or any secret group of men are pulling all of the strings, but that mankind is surprised and thwarted and has to react to God's decrees. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 10. Devise a plan, but it will be thwarted. State a proposal, but it will not stand, for God is with us. Job chapter 42, verse 2. I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Psalm 146, 9. The Lord protects the stranger. He supports the fatherless and the widow. But he thwarts the way of the wicked. Or Proverbs 21:30, there is no wisdom and no understanding and no counsel against the Lord. Isaiah 14:27, for the Lord of hosts has planned, and who can frustrate it? And as for his stretched out hand, who can turn it back? Even those who do have nefarious plans, Their plans usually blow up in their face because they're ignorant and powerless. These conspiracy theories give man just way too much credit. And regarding plagues and pestilence, the biblical pattern or emphasis is that God sends the plagues and then mankind scrambles to react to it. The plagues thwart man's agenda. God confuses the languages and breaks up the Tower of Babel. So it's more likely that this pandemic thwarted the sinful agenda of the spirit of this age than it was created by mankind to further the spirit of this age. These conspiracy theories attribute to man what should be attributed to God. Man is just reacting. Man is not creating. And this is the key difference to keep in mind when it comes to conspiracy theories. The difference here is between planning something versus reacting to it. Don't get that confused. Just because we see some people reacting to a crisis according to their worldview, don't assume that they created the crisis. Now I say don't always assume it because there are cases where nefarious people will create fake crisis. That's the Clower and Piven strategy. That's the Saul Alinsky rules for radicals. That's what the media does to vilify its political opponents. However, I would say in most cases, economic collapse, famine, hurricanes, war, crime, the world is reacting to the consequences and the judgments that are coming down upon their own head. So let's reject this nonsense that the left is creating hurricanes and locust plagues and economic collapse to disrupt the world. And this brings me to my fourth point. The problem is not conspiracy theories and conspiracies as much as simply people operating on a false worldview. This is simply people with a globalist mindset reacting to a crisis the way they always react. There comes a crisis, whether that be economic or social or medical, and those on the left will use it to further their worldview. They'll interpret it through their worldview, but it's a stretch to claim they create the event, especially when you don't have proof. I mean, there's enough evil to see in people's reaction to an event than to make up more than you have proof for. Now, an event might really help the left's worldview. Or at least they really, really try to use that crisis to further their ends. So much so that it does look like they might have created the crisis. But that's an assumption that cannot be made without firsthand evidence. And it is true that some people will exacerbate a crisis if they find they can use it to their advantage. But that's a whole lot different than saying that they created the crisis. To say, for example, that all wars are started by weapon manufacturers and bankers. Henry Kissinger, former U.S. Secretary of State, a globalist ideologue, on April 3rd, wrote an op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal entitled, "The Coronavirus Pandemic Will Forever Alter the World Order." Here are some of the quotes. "The U.S. must protect its citizens from disease while starting the urgent work of planning for a new epoch. Now, in a divided country, efficient and far-sighted government is necessary to overcome obstacles unprecedented in magnitude and global scope. Sustaining the public trust is crucial to social solidarity, to relations of society with each other, and to international peace and stability. Addressing the necessities of the moment must ultimately be coupled with a global collaborative vision and program." Then Henry Kissinger goes on to write about the need for powerful rulers and a powerful state, but that's Henry Kissinger. He has always been a big one world government proponent. He sees everything through the lens of globalism. But is this his reaction to a pandemic that is largely outside of his control? Or does he write this op-ed as one of the globalists who manufactured this crisis? Conspiracy theorists confuse planning with reacting. For example, the Christian worldview is to use everything to promote evangelism. We never let a crisis go to waste. We respond to any pandemic, to any war, to any economic collapse as another opportunity to spread the gospel. And I'm sure someone on the left could connect the dots and claim that Christians therefore work to make those things happen. In fact, that is what happened to Christians under Nero in AD 64. Rome caught fire, and the Christians were blamed because Christians were opposed to the state religion. The pagan Romans thought, find the people who have an agenda or a motive, and they must be the cause. And they were wrong. It doesn't follow that if you have an agenda or a worldview, that you are involved in a secret, nefarious conspiracy. What we're seeing all around us is events taking place outside of man's control. Nations are rising against nations, in various places, famines and earthquakes, as Jesus said, and people are simply reacting to it according to their worldview. Conservatives use a crisis to fight statism. Leftists use a crisis to promote statism. Nancy Pelosi puts together a $3 trillion stimulus package with all sorts of funding for government cronies because that's her worldview. Her solution to every problem is more government. It's not as if she is part of a cabal of world leaders who create this virus to turn the United States into a communist state. In fact, the battle for truth would be so much easier if it was just the Illuminati or the Council for Foreign Relations or the Bilderberg Group or the Democratic Party pulling all of the strings. But it's far worse. It's millions of people who are simply operating on a faulty worldview, the spirit of this age. The other day, I had some mindless downtime. So I was watching The Mandalorian, Disney Star Wars offshoot, and the bad guys, those representing the evil empire, said to the rebel, the supporter of the Republic, why did you resist the expansion of the empire? The empire improves every system it touches, judged by any measure. Safety, prosperity, trade, opportunity, and peace. Compare imperial rule to what's happening now. Look outside. Is the world more peaceful since the revolution? I see nothing but death and chaos. And that's some good movie dialogue. The globalist, the statist, the first order evil empire crowd really believe that they're doing the right thing, that they're being virtuous. They believe that the solution is unity and cooperation and top-down control. They're kind of like the elders of Israel in 1 Samuel chapter 8, who said to the prophet Samuel, this republic thing is too messy. We don't get enough control. Give us a king. Most of the world's makers and shakers aren't plotting together in some back room to destroy people, to destroy jobs, to make people's lives miserable. They are just right out in the open trying to implement statism because they believe it's best. They believe this is their worldview. I just wish it was a conspiracy by a few, but it's so much more subtle and so much more deceiving and so much more widespread than that. It's the entire world having a wrong view of God and man and redemption. And that leads people to make poor policy choices and fatal decisions. It's just millions of people who are putting their trust in man rather than their trust in the Lord. When the world someday embraces the Antichrist, he will likely ride into power on the wave of a crisis. And the values of the world at that time will be such that their preferred solution will be the Antichrist globalist agenda rather than Christian values and truth. A crisis exposes our values, not our conspiracies. At the Passover, the people had a choice. Jesus the Messiah or Barabbas, the political zealot. And the people cried out, "Give us Barabbas." They chose the path of political terrorism rather than the path of personal redemption. And yes, the chief priests stirred up the crowd to ask for Pilate to release Barabbas. They cheated by holding the trial at night, but it was still the people that made the choice, not just the conspiracy. So in regard to conspiracies, don't slander people. Don't attribute to man more than is possible. Don't blame a secret small group for the sins of the nation. And first look for the conspiracy in the reaction to the crisis or world event, not a conspiracy in the creation of the crisis. Yes, there are conspiracies to use this virus to further certain political ends. But that doesn't mean that this virus was created by 5G networks, Bill Gates, the UN, or China. Conspiracies are real. It's just how far you go in your conception of them. So that concludes the first part of this YouTube, Crackpot Conspiracy Theories. Now let's talk about real conspiracy theories. This is what the Bible calls the plotting of the wicked. And let's not be naive, the wicked do plot to do certain things. Psalm chapter 10, verse 2, "In pride, the wicked hotly pursue the afflicted. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised." Psalm 37, 12, "The wicked plot against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth." Psalm 64, 6, "They devise injustice, saying, we are ready with a well-conceived plot, for the inward thoughts and the hearts of man are deep." And in 1 Samuel 23, 9, David knew that Saul was plotting evil against him. In Esther chapter 2, the plot of Haman became known to Mordecai, and he told Queen Esther. Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 19, "But I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter, and I did not know that they had devised plots against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more." Jeremiah was somewhat naive concerning the plotting of the wicked. Then in regard to Jesus, the Pharisees actually got together behind closed doors and came up with a secret plan to get rid of Jesus, even to make him look bad by trying to catch him in a misstatement. Matthew 22, 15, "Then the Pharisees went and plotted together how they might trap him in what he said." Matthew 26, 4, "And they plotted together to seize Jesus by stealth and kill him." So, do you think the media might plot to take down their political opponents? To run all the same stories against their political opponents? Absolutely. And Christians of all people, understanding the nature of the unsaved mind and seeing these biblical examples, should believe in the reality of conspiracies, the plotting of the wicked. The recent revelations concerning Michael Flynn in that case should be a reminder that the wicked really do plot to take down the righteous. When President Trump took office in 2017, he chose Michael Flynn to be his national security advisor. The FBI began to investigate Flynn, accusing him of collaborating with the Russians. They claimed that he made a misstatement and he was accused of perjury. The FBI threatened his family and they prosecuted him. In the last 2 weeks, it has been revealed through FBI documents that these individuals in the FBI plotted to get Flynn to make misstatements so they could prosecute him and disrupt the Trump administration. It was a perjury trap. An FBI agent even asked in his notes whether they wanted him to get Flynn to lie so that he could be fired or prosecuted. The whole thing was an illegal conspiracy against Michael Flynn. Now, what's really interesting is that Grabian has put together a montage of all of the mainstream media back in 2017 laughing and mocking conservatives for conspiracy theories about Flynn's prosecution. Watch this clip.
President Trump and his top aides have been routinely ignoring the truth and pushing phony conspiracy theories.
The president seems to be saying that this was a case of entrapment, that Michael Flynn was essentially pressured into lying. What is your response?
I think that's hogwash.
You know, there are all kinds of conspiracy theories about how he was entrapped.
The FBI agents didn't do anything wrong here. So I think that's important because there are a lot of sort of conspiracy theories.
They all work together. And, you know, the Fox News people in the White House fuel these sort of rumors.
Do they send these around with fax machines? They come up with these conspiracy theories and they send them around on fax machines.
They should just knock it off and realize that their ridiculous conspiracy theories are going to be knocked down.
Stop. Stop with the conspiracy theories.
So I think that loud sound you heard at about 12:30 Eastern was the sound of 10,000 conspiracy theories by the Trump defenders exploding.
The sound you hear is a million conspiracy theories exploding.
I could call them the Trumpets. All over the country, their heads were blown up.
Here's another conspiracy theory that has been blown to bits.
Trump talking points and right-wing media conspiracies demolished.
Poor Michael Flynn. He was duped.
It's so embarrassing. You know, when you push all your chips to the middle of the table, you better be damn sure you got a good hand.
The FBI broke standard protocol in the way that they came in and ambushed General Flynn.
She knew better. Wrong.
So CNN and MSNBC and CBS and ABC were all saying that this was the FBI unearthing corruption and that these right-wing conspiracy theories were all unfounded. Well, it now comes out that all of those right-wing conspiracy theories were true. And the media was either naive concerning the workings of the leftist deep state or the media was covering up for the deep state. But don't doubt the plotting of the wicked. Conservatives will usually superimpose their own values on their opponents. We would never do such things, so we can't imagine other people doing those things. And so the left uses our own virtue and our own naivety against us. So now today, in regard to these governors and their lockdown orders, we're hearing voices on the right crying conspiracy. Here are some quotes from some mainstream conservative pundits. This is not coming from Alex Jones and InfoWars. This is mainstream conservatism. Rush Limbaugh. Quote, these lockdowns are to destroy the economy, to destroy Trump. They don't care if the economy collapses. They have a power agenda. Tucker Carlson. On Fox News said the other night, power-drunk politicians crow about science, but resolutely ignore its findings. They don't read the studies. They don't care what the data says. Their decisions are driven by ambition, political calculation, and the pure animal joy of controlling other people's lives. The president, Donald Trump, tweeted, "The Democrats are moving slowly all over the U.S. for political purposes. They would wait until November 3rd if it were up to them. Don't play politics. Be safe. Move quickly." Those are really audacious claims, attacking the motives of these governors. I mean, could it not be that these governors genuinely want to save lives? But in that desire to save lives, how much influence does politics have over their medical opinions? And if it does, is it conscious or subconscious? And if the political agenda is a subconscious influence, can these governors then be accused of evil intent? And furthermore, how does this happen? Do all of these governors get together on a conference call? They plot to keep these lockdowns in order to destroy the economy and to reduce Trump's re-election chances? Or do they simply do the same thing because they all operate on the same worldview? Here is where conspiracy theories differ. Some see wrongheaded policy as a deliberate, planned plot. And sometimes it is. Others see it more subtle, and I take this approach. I mean, yes, there can be secret meetings and phone calls, but it is mostly the implementation of a common worldview. These governors don't have to call each other for marching orders. They all operate on statism. They think the same. They have the same objectives. And if a little lockdown might help them politically, might help them squeeze more money from the federal government, they all know it, and it skews their altruistic charity objectives. And it doesn't even have to be on a conscious level. In other words, it's not as if these politicians are wringing their hands and speaking with a maniacal voice that they want to destroy the economy and Trump's re-election chances. That is the Hollywood characterization of evil. In real life, it's so much more subtle. It's so much more deceiving. Those who want the economy to stay locked down for political reasons don't even recognize how their political views affect their opinions. Remember Jesus said about the Pharisees, they are the blind leaders of the blind. They had no idea that they were hypocrites. They considered themselves righteous. And many of these governors don't even recognize that if a Democrat were in the White House, they would take a whole different approach. Political ideology does affect their decisions. Did you see how the Republican Mike Garcia won and took a Democrat seat in the special California congressional election? If these lockdowns begin to hurt the Democrats politically, you can be sure these lockdowns will end in short order. Political expediency has more influence over how these politicians view policy than they even care to admit or know. So when Limbaugh or Trump or Tucker accuses the motives of these governors, crying conspiracy, it is something that can be said. The prophets in the Old Testament would often righteously indict the motives of the kings and false teachers. The only thing I would like to see is for these statements against these governors to be more nuanced, pointing out that their politics is subconsciously skewing their common sense. Because most people don't see this as deliberate on the part of these Democratic governors, but they do understand how political ideology can blind people's opinions. And if we frame it that way, I think it will help the public to get it. And we won't look like crazy conspiracy theorists. So in closing, let's not forget the bigger real conspiracy, the influence of the grand conspirator, Satan himself. Ephesians chapter 2, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. As Christians are led by the Holy Spirit, the people of this world are led by Satan. If there are back rooms where plans are made and sent into the minds of the leaders of this world, it is happening in the spiritual realm. But remember, Christ has defeated Satan's kingdom, and nothing Satan does or the world does will succeed against the kingdom of Christ and his people. And with that, I'm going to have to end. There's a whole lot more that can be said about the subject, but we need to get back to the work of the Lord. Thank you for including God and country as part of your discipleship in the Word. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your moral support. Thank you even for financial support. Don't forget to subscribe, like, or leave a comment below. And may Jesus Christ reign.